Welcome to Musicians Versus the World, the podcast where we explore aspects of music and musician life that may not have been covered in music school. I am your host, Christine Smith, and today we are going to explore the career path and creative process behind video game music with orchestral composer Amanda Cawley. Amanda Cawley is an award-winning orchestral composer known for crafting fantastical themes for a variety of visual media. She has been nominated for several different sectors in the Leo Awards from 2018 to 2023, including Best Musical Score, Best Original Score, and Best Short in the Documentary and Shorts categories. In addition, she was honored by the SOCAN Foundation for the Emerging Screen Composer Award and completed Level 10 at the Royal Conservatory of Music in History, Theory, and Piano Performance. Her portfolio includes a variety of media, including 78 episodes of the globally distributed animated TV series Fireman Sam and 20 episodes of the documentary series Ageless Gardens, for which she received nominations for Best Original Music Nonfiction at the 2022 Canadian Screen Awards and Canadian Screen Music Awards. Amanda is an avid video game enthusiast and is passionate about the world of gaming, and her latest project is composing the game title, credits, menu, and in-game play aura for the tower defense strategy game Siegebreaker. So Amanda Cawley, thank you so much for being here, and welcome to Musicians Versus the World.
Wow, thank you so much for that intro, Christine, and thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Great. I'm happy that you're here, too. I'm so excited to chat with you. You have such wonderful experience composing for such a variety of media. And I'm especially excited to hear about your kind of transition into video game music. What is it about video games that made you decide to kind of dive into that field?
I feel like I was always drawn to otherworldly things. Even composing for film and TV, I've always been really passionate about animation and fantasy and things that kind of go beyond just our normal day-to-day world here. And so something about the video game industry is it really breaks down those barriers and they really build worlds up from the ground. And so for me, that was a really exciting place to start exploring. And with it comes so much freedom to explore music and like what this world will sound like and how I can create something that's really unique for this world. And that to me is just a really exciting place to endeavor into. So that was one of the reasons I was so excited to get started in composing for games.
Yeah, I would think so. And I would think that this world building really depends on the project that you're working on, right? But for Siegebreaker in particular, it's a tower defense game, right? So what was sort of your process on coming up with the sound that you were going to, like the aura, if you will, of the whole world building?
Absolutely. Well, I take a lot of reference from the visuals and the story and what we have already in the game. And that really influences the musical decisions I make in terms of what instrumentation I might use, what kind of harmonic scales and structure, and how dense the score might be. So all of these things are influenced by the visuals, the storytelling, the gameplay. For Siegebreaker in particular, there were four main continents that the game took place on. And so for each continent, I got to craft a different palette. And it was really nice because they were geographically different. We had a forest continent, an Arctic one, a desert, and volcanic. So I got to really think about, okay, what kind of sounds are going to live in the forest ones? And what kind of like earth magic can I bring in? So in that one, you hear a lot of flutes and harps and whimsical kind of tones. The Arctic one is more glacial sounding with a lot of icy strings and time signatures constantly shifting to try and emulate the shifting of the ground and ice moving around. And then in the desert, I got to explore maybe some Arabic scales and kind of went into different ethnicities there and bringing in some instruments like the sarangi and the sitar and some traditional Eastern drums, which was fun. And then in the volcanic, we kind of got like this really almost like a Mordor kind of vibe where we've just got like catastrophe building and a lot of swirly string patterns and bells. And so it was really fun to, you know, it wasn't just one sonic palette that that traveled across the whole game. It really shifts as you get through the game, and as you discover each continent comes with discovering this whole new kind of musical sonic scape, which was just really fun to get to play around and create those different palettes.
Yeah, that would be fun. How long did it take you to come up with these different palettes? Was it a long process of trial and error?
It wasn't too long, but the nice thing about composing for games is the timeline is stretched out more so than film and TV. It's not as linear because they do start integrating the music as they're still developing the game. So I did have more time than I usually would to explore these different themes. And what I kind of started with was just composing a short amount of music, like two to three minutes of music in one palette, and kind of sending that to the audio director and getting some notes and feedback before, you know, diving in and composing all the layers to the music. Because for each piece of music, I also composed three different intensity levels of that same piece of music. So there was a low intensity, medium intensity, and high intensity, so that at any point they could crossfade into each track depending on what the game player was doing. So it's a lot of content to create. So I think just kind of like honing in on what it would be before getting too deep with that was my strategy. And that process just kind of, it unfolded organically. It didn't take too long, but there wasn't really a time crunch either. That was really nice, was just to have the freedom to explore all these things in my own time. And that was totally new for me, because with film and TV, it's usually like, okay, you've got 2 weeks or you've got 1 week and just go. And it's linear, right? So this was very nice to get to see it integrated as I go and see what's working and what isn't and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of linear, that's another big difference between film or storytelling in that sense and an interactive medium like a video game. Like the contour of what you're writing and what you're composing seems like it would have to be different. You would have to kind of shift your focus, right? Like how is it different? Can you explain that a little bit in detail?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you've just got to be aware of the fact that it's a looping track a lot of the time, and not for all games. And there are elements of the game, like the cutscenes, where it's linear, but most of the time I'm working in like a 3 or 4 minute looping kind of track. So just being conscious of ending the composition in the same place that I started it. So I would kind of, you know, go on a harmonic journey and change chord progression, and you can change time signatures and everything, but just being aware that I have to get back to where I started organically in order for the loop to seamlessly keep going. And then you really don't want to make anything too jarring in the loop, because then it stands out, right? Like if it goes to something that's really iconic or unique, then it becomes like a part that stands out. And when it does loop, it starts to key in the listener that, oh, this is a looping track, which we don't really want to do. We kind of want them to just feel like the ambiance is there and it keeps going. So for me, it was just being aware and having to adjust my process to suit all these new things to consider, and just realizing that like there was a little bit more of like limitations in terms of where I could take it because of that.
So walk me through this. So you have I guess a scene, or you have like a level or something, and you have these different layers of intensity. Mm-hmm. Do you start with the big layer and peel things back, or do you usually start, did you find yourself starting with the low intensity level and building upon that for the other levels?
I think I actually explored doing it both ways in my composition process, because This was my first time working in this three layer kind of process. So I did experiment writing all, like first starting with the high intensity and then working backwards. And then I also experimented with starting with the low intensity and working up. And sometimes I would kind of like go back and forth and cross reference and make sure that they would kind of work at that level and then work at this level and keep going. Because what I found is when I started with like the high intensity and then I built it back to the low intensity, I found that like it wasn't maybe interesting enough when I took it back to just like the baseline. And so starting with the lower intensity and then building on top of it gave me a little bit more, like I was thinking a little bit more about the harmonic and the melodies and rather than like the driving forces, which were like percussion and, you know, all these like intricate rhythms from the brass section and string section. So I did kind of bounce back and forth. There isn't a right or wrong way. And it's really just like whatever process works for you. And I was just kind of experimenting with it.
You mentioned that you do have melodies and you do have harmonies, but you tried to temper them so that they weren't so unexpected that they stand out. Did you find yourself doing unexpected things and then catching yourself and saying, oh, wait, no, let's pull that back. Let's do something a little bit less conspicuous.
Yeah, that happened a few times where I had written like there would be like a cool rhythmic like some shots or some articulation or accent that I would kind of hear in my head and execute it. And then kind of realizing in a loop that like, oh, that's too distinct and just pulling things back. So I did have to kind of keep myself in check a little bit. But in terms of melody, I still got to explore a lot of the melodies that I wanted to. And there was definitely a lot of place for that because the thing with video games compared to film and TV is there isn't dialogue, at least there wasn't in my case. So there was just much more space in the sonic spectrum for the music to be a little bit grander and a little bit more melody driven and engaging in terms of music. I didn't have to worry about competing with other audio. I was just aware of the sound effects and like what kind of scope those would fill. But I found that actually gave me a little bit more freedom to be grander with the music and have bigger melodies and harmonic progressions than I would in film and TV.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that happening. And you think about that with just video game music in general. It has that very big, huge, lately it seems especially, so much orchestral writing in video game music. It's just fantastic. It seems like it must be so much fun for an orchestral composer like yourself. Mm-hmm. You just feel like, oh, good, I get to go play.
Yeah, it's really like, I love the orchestra. I love the sound of the orchestra and working with an orchestra when I get the opportunity to. And it's really exciting to kind of get to dive into that palette in a big way. And just kind of like experience that freedom. And it's definitely there in video game soundtracks. It's one of the reasons that I'm drawn to video games too, is just because they feel so epic a lot of the time, right? They're so empowering when you just listen to the music on its own, like the music stands up so much, you know, like it really is a full piece just in itself. So it's super impressive what some of the game composers have created. And it's just like, it's really exciting to...
Oh my goodness. Our symphony plays video. They have like a whole video game night where they just play video game music. Our Atlanta Symphony
amazing.
Does that.
Amazing.
Yeah. And it's great. It's great music.
Yeah.
It's such a fun thing. I love that. And I love hearing your creative process as you're going through this. What was your favorite continent?
Oh, that's tricky. I think the Arctic one, actually.
I think so because
in all of the other ones, I was very like melody and harmony driven. Where there's Arctic one, I was like, okay, I'm gonna just constantly change time signatures. So it's like 5/4, 3/4, 7/4. Every bar is like it's constantly changing. So I think that was just a new challenge for me. And I'm always excited when I like discover a new thing to grow in and expand in. And for me, that was just kind of a unique moment that I discovered in this game. But the forest too, like the kind of sounds that we hear in the forest biodome are the sounds that like kind of pull at my heartstrings, you know, with like cellos and flutes and harps and like just your classic fantasy kind of like walking into an enchanted forest. Those are the sounds that resonate with me a lot of the time. I really love Celtic music, and like especially when I can bring in choir, like there's some in the higher intensity tracks, there's some choral parts, and that's really like resonating for me to kind of get to hear that in the music too.
Yeah. So you brought in some Celtic influences into that, like the harmonic flavor in there.
Yeah. Wow. I can't help it. Yeah.
Well, it's beautiful music, and it seems like it fits so well when it comes to forest and fantasy for sure. But the Arctic, I bet that was interesting. So have you said it was kind of new to do all those changing time signatures then?
Yeah.
How did you approach that? If you hadn't really done it before, did you start with the percussion and you say, okay, I'm going to like get a groove going? Or were you trying to not get a groove and you were trying to make it sound random?
Yeah, it was more on the latter side of that. I wanted it to feel unpredictable. And so it wasn't about establishing like a rhythmic pattern. It was more about like these big expansive chords that I was creating on the strings. So I started with the strings for that one in particular, because it's really just about them shifting like one note at a time into like, and the harmony's changing, but it's transitioning so subtly and it's changing on these like obscure time signatures. So I think it is quite subtle. And if you're just listening, I don't think you would know necessarily. Maybe in the higher intensity, where we've definitely got like drums and choirs doing like a ha, ha, ha kind of thing. And you can definitely hear like, okay, where is the beat? And like, or like it's changing. You probably notice it a bit more. But I think, I was just kind of playing around. And so for me, it was actually like kind of turning off my natural instincts, because I have so much, roots in like studying traditional harmony and traditional, rhythms. And so for me, it was like more like just closing my eyes and letting my hands like find new things on the piano, new, combinations of notes, rather than thinking about them in such a harmonical analytical kind of way. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes actually like letting go of the training and education that I have, helps me discover just a new way to approach things and to find new things. And then you're like, oh, that sounds really interesting. And then you can just correct things here and there. But, it's nice to explore that.
Wow, that must have been really fun. So what an amazing project that you get to go to all these different places in your imagination and your creativity.
Yeah. Oh,
it's a great time. Okay, so can we talk a little bit about the details? So you had mentioned that you work with the sound director or the audio director of the game.
Audio director,
yeah. Yeah, so who is it that you usually, as a composer in a video game, who is it that you usually report to?
Yeah. In a video game, I mean, this one was a smaller production, but in a video game, there is typically an audio director that's kind of overseeing, you know, all the sound effects, the music, all the way that the audio comes together. So that would be your main point of contact as a composer. And then they're going to be, your music's going to go through a few levels of approval. You know, it's going to go up the chain a little bit too, but I think more as that trust is established, it's just more back and forth with the audio director.
Mm-hmm. Did you audition for this, or did you know the game developers already?
No, this was a situation where, I'd already had the relationship with the game developer. And so they'd heard my music and just thought it would be a good fit for this game in particular. Yeah.
Great. Well, that's nice, because I know that the video game industry can be a very tight-knit group, and it can be hard to break in sometimes for people. Like, do you have suggestions for maybe people who are wanting to go into composing for video games, like how they can go and meet people or how they can get their music heard from by these game developers?
Yeah, so there's the Game Developers Conference that's in San Francisco in March, and that's the biggest conference, the biggest game conference in the world. So that's a really great place to go to network and start building relationships and connecting with game developers and audio directors. They have a whole audio pass, so you can go to seminars focused on audio in games and learn a little bit more about that, and also talk to audio directors and connect with them in person there. I find in this industry, same with the film and TV, in-person connections just are so much more powerful, and they will relate to, you know, more tangible work than trying to just reach out to people on LinkedIn or, you know, cold emails or something like that. So it's really about just making as many connections as you can in person. But I would say before that, even the most important thing is to start crafting your own style and your own voice in music. And instead of trying to be what every game wants you to be, just think about what's unique to you and your voice, and how you can get that out in the world, how you can showcase that. So looking for ways to make a portfolio, if you can apply for some funding to do a self-guided album, or, you know, just looking for projects or connecting with indie kind of game developers or indie films to start out with too. I think the biggest thing is getting your voice kind of established. And once you have a style and a particular edge, then you might, you know, stand out a little bit and fit more specifically for a game developer's vision or something. I think there's a lot of composers out there, and there's a lot of people trying to do it all, right? And what kind of happens is there's just a bunch of people that can do everything. And I think that makes it a little bit less distinct for people that are making the decisions to decide upon someone. So rather than trying to fit in with everything, just really honing your own craft and your own voice and style, and just finding a way to showcase yourself in whatever way that you can.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about your voice then, because you're very classically trained. I mean, you at Royal Conservatory of Music, that's not an easy thing. Piano and history and theory. And now you're composing this fantastical and very, fantasy type of music. What's your journey been like? How did you get from classical to composing for animation and for video games?
Yeah, I studied classical piano growing up, and I always did, the theory, harmony training. I did study classical piano at the University of Victoria for a little bit. And then I actually switched gears and went to Selkirk College in Nelson, where I studied contemporary music, because I studied the classical route because it was what was provided to me and what was available. And it felt like it was relevant at the time. But once I got to classical composition in university, I realized that I really, really yearned for like contemporary music. And I really connected. I always connected with film and game soundtracks. Like growing up, I was always listening in my free time. I was always listening to soundtracks more so than any rock band or pop star or anything. It was always the soundtracks that stayed with me. And I just remember like spending all my spare time in university, like just studying the like Lord of the Rings soundtrack or Danny Elfman's soundtracks from Tim Burton films or whatever. And I was always like obsessed with this kind of fantasy style of music that just felt so whimsical and empowering and epic. And again, it just took me out of this world and placed me in a totally like creative, expansive, unique universe. So I kind of like was just always drawn to it. And then I knew that I wanted to compose for media. It was always that inspired me. I really like the collaborative nature of composing for media and getting to be inspired by the project, getting to be part of a team to create something that's bigger than myself and bring what I can to it. And so for me, I really wanted to pursue that. So then I studied contemporary music and learned kind of the skills on how to record, work in a DAW, and the business side of music, and then started just going to film festivals and connecting with directors.
So what is the thing that you find helps you the most when it comes to getting ideas? Are you a very visual person? Like if you see a still shot and you're like, this is what that sounds like, or do you like to see action and kind of, see beats or cues or something? Like, are you more action driven or are you more like, I guess, picture driven, if you know what I mean?
I think probably more visual, but again, it's everything. It's listening to everything. It's even like the camera choices that they use, like what angles they use to frame mm-hmm. a shot with and what color palette they're using and the aesthetic of the images. They all help inform my musical choices, even on a subconscious level. You know, if things are looking sharp and crisp, then I'm going to be, you know, just kind of naturally drawn to creating something a little bit more in that tone and a little bit sharper and, you know, maybe more staccato or more percussive. And if things are soft, like I think it's really, there's a lot of information to process mm-hmm. and some of it happens consciously, but a lot of it happens subconsciously. Yeah. And even deeper than kind of what you're seeing on the screen is the story behind it. So mm-hmm. getting to understand that, like what they're telling with this piece of media, what this film is saying, what this animation is saying, or this video game, like what is this trying to create for the game player? What is our goal? And just kind of getting in line with that goal for the project, and then getting to kind of make space for my creative process. A lot of it starts off by a walk in the woods. Like I really, really like to just get into nature. That's where creativity happens for me. That's mm-hmm. where I feel I can let go of all the judgment and all of the pressure. And I can really just like breathe into nature. And yeah, nature is a really big part of my process to get inspired and to start a project.
Okay, we've got to go into this a little bit. Okay, so you're in nature and you're breathing and you're just kind of just being there, right? And you're kind of meditating. Do melodies come into your mind at that point, or do harmonies or textures, or is it just I'm clearing my mind and then I sit down and it happens? What happens in those woods?
Yeah. What happens in the woods? I tell you, it's my secret. No, it's a mixture of all of those. Sometimes I do hear a melody. Sometimes I'll just start humming to myself, or I'm like noticing my footsteps and I'm like kind of hearing just like the humdrum of that. And then like, I'll just hear something over top of it. And I sometimes record little voice memos into my phone and ideas. And sometimes it is really about just clearing everything out because I'm just like carrying the weight of the day, the weight of what I've got on my plate at the moment. And it's just about like letting go of all that stuff so that I can then come and sit down at my keyboard, my piano or my computer, wherever I'm starting, and just have a clear mind and, you know, really focus in and settle into it. So it mm-hmm. just does so much for me, and it's something that I really, really resonate with. So
yeah, I remember seeing something. It was like a meme or something, and it showed different composers' days and like how they spent their days, and something like Beethoven spent like 4 hours just walking in the woods or something, you know?
Yeah.
I have to find that somewhere, but it's so when you said that, I was like, oh, there's that classical coming by. There's something about the woods and going out in nature, I think, that's really inspiring.
There is. And sometimes I'm inspired by what I hear. Like there'll be bird calls that I hear, or there'll be, you know, just like listening to the wind moving through the trees. And it's so inspiring for me. It's like a place of connection, and music is a place of connection. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's really about channeling something authentic and what I'm bringing to the project. Like I'm hoping that the music's going to resonate with people on a deep level, on a maybe even subconscious level, or but just feel like a place of connection. So for me, it's important for me to compose from that place mm-hmm. rather than, you know, just thinking about like, how can I make this good and how can I hit the deadline? And it's more about, just getting grounded.
Mm-hmm. And I would think so, even though you are doing these fantastical and fantasy soundtracks, and with video games in particular, the audience is putting themselves in the character's shoes themselves, and they're using it as an escape for their own self. And so when you have the authenticity, I can see that being a really important part of the game playing experience. So that, I love your composing process. I love how you're getting inspiration. I love all of that. I think it's fantastic. Do you have any new projects that are coming up that you're really excited about?
I'm working on a little indie game at the moment called Potion Problems, which is really fun and quirky and whimsical. And then I'm currently co-composing another season of Fireman Sam with Mike Shields. So that's really, really fun project to be a part of, because that's a show that I used to watch when I was a kid myself. Oh. So it's really nice that that's come full circle. And this is our fourth season working on this show together. So really excited to continue working for working in games and kind of expanding in this way too.
Yeah. Oh, that's fun. Really quick before we end, like how is it different co-composing versus composing by yourself?
It's another voice, and you get to kind of bounce ideas off of each other and share the workload too, which in something like Fireman Sam, we do an episode a week, for sometimes, you know, between like 26 weeks in a row or 52 weeks in a row. So it's a lot of content. So we kind of share the workload, which is really nice. And, it keeps, you know, we challenge each other a little bit too, and that's really fun too.
Oh, that is fun. And you guys get along really well, and you can like help each other grow. Things.
Definitely. Yeah.
Oh, that is fun. Well, congratulations. Congratulations on all of this, like your whole career of with animation and film and documentaries and now video games. It's just so exciting. And I wish you all the best in that.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Now, as we finish, you've given so much good advice already, but do you have any more advice for upcoming or aspiring musicians or composers that you'd like to share?
I think I'll end it on just have fun. Like, music is fun. Music is a place of expression and of connection. And so I think sometimes as artists, we get a little bit judgmental, or we get a little bit, start comparing ourselves outwardly to what other people have achieved or what other people are creating. And, you know, I've definitely done that myself. And just trying to remember that at the end of the day, if you have fun creating music and playing music, that will shine through and the music will be all the better for it. So just enjoy it.
Yeah, that's great. I love it. Amanda, it's been so wonderful to chat with you. You're fantastic. Thank you so much for being here and taking the time to chat with me.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. And this is such a good resource for everyone. So thank you for listening. And yeah, I hope to see you again soon. Have a great day.
Thank you for joining us today on the Musicians Versus the World podcast in our conversation with orchestral composer Amanda Cawley. I will have links to more information about Amanda and her projects in our show notes on our website, frostedlens.com/musiciansversustheworld. Musicians Versus the World is a production of Frosted Lens Entertainment in conjunction with Smith Sound Music. It is hosted and edited by me, Christine Smith, and our producer today is Russ Wilkes. If you have enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to follow us on your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss out on any future conversations. You can also find a video version of this interview on our Musicians Versus the World YouTube channel. If you have any questions for us, topics you'd like to hear about, or any helpful advice for other musicians that you'd like to share, be sure to reach out on Instagram, Threads, or Facebook, or send us an email at info@frostedlens.com. Thanks so much for listening, and have a great day.